tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
To the Hope Show with Beverly today. Thank you all for joining me. I hope all of you have had a very blessed week, and I just want to put a quick reminder out there that once the show has aired, it will be uploaded to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com. I would encourage all of my listeners in the other networks to visit my podcast page if you'd like to go back and listen to some of the previous podcasts, and as always, I want to encourage all of you to go on my podcast page and throw me some comments or suggestions of what you would like to hear in the upcoming weeks. Today I will be discussing shame. Shame, as defined in the Webster's Dictionary, states that the word means an effect, emotion, state, or condition. It is thought to be some consciousness or awareness of something. The word is thought to be derived from an older word meaning to cover, as in to cover yourself. Shame can occur as a result of some experience that causes you embarrassment, causes dishonor to self or others, disgrace or humiliation. A condition or state of shame may also, though, be assigned to us externally by others, regardless of what our experiences are or what we have done. To shame someone generally means to actively assign to someone or communicate something that is meant to harm someone's integrity. It's a behavior designed to uncover or expose someone for a specific reason, and generally that purpose is not a good one. Being filled with shame is a painful emotion caused by a consciousness of guilt, a shortcoming, a feeling of regret that something was done wrong. You can feel shame when you feel inadequate or have feelings of unworthiness. As humans, we are created flawed. No one is perfect, no matter how hard we might try. Sometimes we ourselves will do something, perhaps we'll make a choice that we will later regret. Perhaps we knew right from the very beginning, the very thought of doing the deed was wrong. Perhaps we did it anyway, avoiding that inner small voice that told us not to do it, that we would later regret it. Then afterwards, felt ashamed of ourselves for doing something, wishing we had listened to that small inner voice that was telling us no. How many of you out there have done something even though that inner voice inside you tried to tell you not to do whatever it was that you later regretted? I've had instances like that. Afterwards, you feel bad. You wish you had have listened. But by that time, it's too late to change your mind. It's now time to face the consequences of your choices. It's too late to turn back time. You can't turn back time, no matter how much we would like to sometimes. That is why it is so very important to think carefully about the choices we make before we actually do them. Weigh the consequences first. Don't make any rash decisions right away. You may later regret them, wish you hadn't. Then, once you've thought about it, and you've weighed all the pros and the cons, then make your choice, based on a rational thought. You should always listen to your gut instinct. If something doesn't feel right, then it probably isn't right. Same with tests and such. Even if you're driving down the road and something tells you, I better not go that way today. Listen to it, folks. Listen to it. Because 9 times out of 10, your gut instinct is going to be right. You should always go with your first choice and don't second guess yourself. That is generally when you run into those types of problems. We are all born with instinct. Our instincts help us navigate through this world in safety. Shame can also be brought down upon us or our family by no fault of our own. Some people will slander your name for their own gain. Gossip can cause a whole world of problems for other people. Some people are malicious with their intent for whatever that reasoning is. Shame can cause you to hate yourself and have no respect for yourself. Shame can cause you embarrassment and humiliation. Shame can make it very difficult to make amends to those that we've wronged. Someone who is ashamed or embarrassed about something may begin to blush. They may become confused, or they may look at the floor with their eyes, such as a downward cast to the eyes. People who are feeling shame may carry themselves with a slack posture, like they're kind of hunched over, like the woe is me, and with a lowered head. There are three key components when one feels as if they've done something wrong. These three components are to show embarrassment, shame, and guilt. Embarrassment is a painful yet important emotion when feeling shamed. Embarrassment makes us feel bad about the mistakes that we make, and so that hopefully we will learn from those and not repeat them. When you feel embarrassed about something, generally, most people will blush. People will feel a heat rising in their bodies that will make their face or other parts of their body turn a slight reddish color. This is caused by an evaluated body temperature. An elevated body temperature. This signals to others that we recognize our mistake and are not completely cold-hearted or oblivious to the fact of what we've just done. Shame can be felt even when no one knows about our little slip-ups. Though other people may not know, we still know, and we still carry that in our own body, in our own mind, in our own heart. And guilt, when we feel guilty about something we've done, guilt tends to focus on what we've done rather than who we really are. It is amazing how complex humans are and how intricately we are designed. Each one of us is unique. They say that everyone has a twin out there in the world that is close enough to looking like us and acting like us that they could actually pass for being us. Isn't that wild? I know my daughter... There's supposed to be a lady, and I've never seen this person yet, but I've had a lot of people tell me that there is someone in the town that my daughter lives in that looks just like me. And there's actually been a time when it actually fooled my own daughter. She was in Walmart one day, and Kara told me that she about embarrassed herself because she about ran up to the lady and gave her a hug. And she said that from the back, she wore her hair the same, she walked the same. She said it was just, it was eerie, the resemblance between that woman and myself. And so I would be interested in meeting this woman myself. I've had people for many years tell me that this woman is out there, and I go to Warrensburg quite often, and I still haven't seen this lady. So every one of us out there in the world are supposed to have a twin that could, in all actuality, pass for being us. But even with that said, they are not us. We are created as unique individuals, a one of a kind. There are many types of shame in this world, too. Shame is unique to individuals as well, from experiences in our life. But it all boils down to secrets, the deceptive things we decide to do of our own free will, or the deceptive things that someone else does to us, either face-to-face, behind closed doors, or behind our back. Let me name just a few examples of some shame that, for example, military people oftentimes feel shame while they are serving our country, and even after they retire and they've came back home, back into civilization again. People who are victims of physical violence oftentimes feel shame. Deception, theft, getting that promotion you've always wanted but that you gained through ways that you didn't do anything to deserve. You didn't earn that promotion. Adultery. If you're a believer, sinning against God. The list of things that you could feel ashamed about can go on forever. I'm sure many of you out there could list a whole bunch more things that you've gone through or that you know someone who's going through right now. The human mind is capable of so many complex emotions. Right now, I want to discuss how our minds process feelings of shame. When you're caught in the web of feeling ashamed, you feel as if you are a failure. You feel rejected. You suffer with the belief that you are bad, or that you're unlovable. This is a very bad place to be in your mind. It is toxic to our very soul. It can destroy us. But let me tell you the interesting part. Our unique, individual, neurological makeup correlates with feelings of being unlovable during these times. These thoughts and feelings can become stuck in our neural circuitry, where our memories are stored. And that is why it can be so hard to release these painful feelings of shame. It's important to know that every experience we have in our life, whether it's good or bad, initiates a thing called a neural firing in our brain. This is the very nature of our brains. Repeated experiences can cause certain neurons in our brain to wire together with greater and greater strength as time passes on. Over time, repetition, whether it's good or bad, accompanied by a certain emotional intensity, forms our habits and our responses to life experiences. Another important thing to keep in mind, though, is that any state of mind can become a trait, good or bad, with sufficient continual reinforcement. So we really, really need to take care of the thoughts that we allow to take residence in our mind, folks. It's so very important. We need to constantly be on the alert to who we associate with, the media that we let into our homes via radio, computers, television, newspapers, even your workplace, you know, and even our homes, you know. Who do we allow into our homes? Who do we associate with? Guard these things with all of your heart. Be aware of the things that are out there in the world that are put in place that are meant to trip you up and potentially do you harm. Also, with that said, we must also be very, very careful in the upbringing of our children. Think about how fragile our own minds are, and then think of our children. They are much more impressionable than we are because they don't know any better. They haven't lived the amount of time on earth that we have. They haven't experienced the things that we have. They're still growing. They're still learning. Our children are counting on us to guide them in the ways of the world and to keep them safe and to keep them loved. In order for our children to be raised up to be healthy humans, we have to first make sure that we are healthy humans. And this pertains to spirituality, our minds, our physical health, and etc. Guard your mind, your heart, and your soul, folks. Guard it with everything you've got. Of all the darker emotions, such as sadness, anger, being afraid, hurt, being disappointed, being jealous, etc., etc., shame is probably the most toxic to the human soul and the least understood or talked about. It is because shame is such an intensely painful emotion or experience that it makes us believe we are flawed, that we are unworthy of love and belonging. Shame makes us withdraw from other people. We don't want to talk about this side of ourselves. We don't want to share this intimate personal side of our being. To tell someone something that is so personal leaves us open and vulnerable to rejection, hate, and criticism, among a whole bunch of other things. One of the most frightening things to a human being is the thought of rejection, not being accepted, being unlovable. This is why it is the least talked about emotion. That hits to the very core of our being. The second key component I mentioned earlier was guilt. Let's compare shame to guilt. Guilt can be helpful too, as crazy as that may sound. It plays an important role also in our lives. Guilt keeps us on track when we've drifted from or violated our very deepest values and standards. It triggers a course of correction in our brain. The exact opposite happens with shame. The emotions that we experience with shame knocks us off balance, knocks us off track, tears us down, and breaks down our confidence. So here is the difference between shame and guilt, folks. When you make a mistake, guilt makes a person think, I did wrong. But when you make the same mistake, shame makes a person feel, I am wrong. See the difference there? One says, I did wrong, but the other one says, I am wrong. Shame triggers two responses. Withdrawal. This is to conceal the Shame triggers two responses. Withdrawal. Withdrawal conceals the inadequacy that we feel about ourselves. The second response is to erupt in anger. We do this to try to aim the pain we are feeling outward and away from ourselves. Neither of these two responses will improve the situation or promote anything positive to occur. In all reality, these two responses tend to make matters much worse than before. Like most things born of evil or negativity, shame thrives only in darkness, deception, in invisibility. If we can recognize in ourselves when shame befalls us, if we are aware of these feelings flowing over us, then we have the same power within ourselves to diminish those same feelings. This is why it is so important to shine a light on shame, to bring it out in the open, to discuss it. Shining light on shame is the single most effective way to fight it. It's not easy to push past the emotions that are causing us so much grief. It takes a very strong, brave, determined, courageous human being to take a stand and say, I'm not going to allow this to hold me down any longer. I'm not going to allow this to hold me prisoner in my own body any longer. And for those of you out there listening today, if you finally broke through that, I commend you. I commend you, folks. Great job. I know if you've reached this point in your life, it was done with a whole lot of effort. And I'm sure the road was long. But now you've come through, and I am so proud of you. Great job if you've overcome something like that. That's no small, easy task. You didn't give up. And for those of you still suffering with a shame in your own life, again, don't give up. Don't stop pushing through it. Let it go. Forgive yourself, and hopefully in time you can forgive those who have trespassed against you. For those of you who are dealing with shame in your own life, do you often catch yourself saying these things to yourself? How could I be so stupid? I feel so worthless. I just want to disappear. Nobody would like me if they knew about the real me. I'm such a loser. I'm not good enough, smart enough, etc. Do you often feel as if people are judging you? Yes, there are two circumstances in my own life, many years ago, when I was much, much younger, that I too lived with shame. I know what it feels like to have that looming over your head every day, day in and day out, night after night, day after day. It consumes you. It's all that you can think about. And your self-worth and your self-confidence and your self-respect, I mean, it just dwindles. It just drains you. You eat, drink, and sleep day after day. Those horrible feelings of shame. In my circumstances, the first incident, I was a victim of something that I didn't have any control over. I was too young to understand that I still had rights, no matter how old I was. Someone else imposed shame upon me. That shame ate away at my soul for many years after the occurrence. The second incident I caused to myself. I had no one to blame. I made a bad choice. But either way, both situations were hard to live with, hard to sleep with, hard to look at yourself in the mirror each day, hard to feel good about yourself. Shame takes over your life, every aspect of it, folks. It gnaws at you day after day until you decide that you are done living like that. Decide to shed a light on it and deal with it head on. Find someone who is trustworthy of talking through it with you. You will continue to withdraw in silence and isolation if you don't find a way to deal with it and get rid of it. You will just make yourself sick. Eleanor Roosevelt often said, "Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent." Think about that quote for a moment. Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. We can put ourselves through a lot of unnecessary turmoil, can't we? We can be our own worst enemy. I know. I've been my own worst enemy on many occasions. But no one can make us feel ashamed without our consent. Even during times when the situation is out of our control, it is an inclination within us, a neural firing, our circuitry, waiting for just the right moment to stir within us. Even our partners can make us feel shame, perhaps make us feel as if we aren't good enough, pretty enough, thin enough, smart enough, lovable or worthy. Our partner's words and deeds can inflict some painful experiences, painful emotions in us. But we must remember that we teach people how to treat us by our own actions and our own deeds. A lot of our responses to experiences in our life are a learned trait from our very, very early years, tracing back to even to the day that we were born, how we were raised, what kind of family were we brought up in with. How did our family treat each other? Was there love, respect, kindness, consideration? Or was our upbringing harsh and dysfunctional, to say the least? But folks, no matter how we were raised, we can grow up and we can break those chains that have held us in bondage for all these years. There is hope. There is hope. We are the only ones that can free ourselves, though, from those emotions of shame and any other toxic emotion, for that matter. We are the only ones that can break free from those chains of bondage that have held us for so many years, that have held us in that awful grip. I'm going to go ahead and take a break right now. I hope you'll enjoy some music, and I'll be back shortly. Folks, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. It's an honor to have you. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about shame today. After the show is aired, it will be uploaded to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com. Feel free to go back to my page and listen to previous shows or listen to today's show again. Last week, at the last 30 minutes of the show, I opened the show for call-ins. My husband and I co-hosted the last half hour, and we had a very special guest on with us. If you are listening, Jonathan, thank you once again for coming on live with us. You are welcome to join the Hope Show anytime. I think I will do that again at the end of today's show, and my husband will be co-hosting with me again because last week went over so well. And so at approximately 11:30 a.m. Central Time, I will be taking call-ins for anyone who'd like to call in and talk about the subject that we are talking about today, shame. So be thinking about what you want to say to the world. It can be an experience that you have gone through. You don't have to give details. You can share with us how you dealt with it. You can call in for advice if you are someone dealing with a shameful situation right now. And you can remain anonymous. Or you can call in if you would like to add or share some words of wisdom and shed some light on shame. Like last week, wait until I cue you that the lines are open for call-ins, and then come join the last half hour with my husband, Shaziz, and I, and share whatever it is that you have on your mind today. All that I ask is to be considerate of the listening audience. Cursing will not be accepted. So now let us move forward with the show. Let's recap what shame is. Shame, as defined in the Webster's Dictionary, states that the word means an effect, emotion, state, or condition. Shame can occur as a result of some experience that we have done that will cause us embarrassment or cause dishonor to ourselves or disgrace or humiliation. It's a condition or a state of shame. That condition or state of shame can also be assigned to us by others too, regardless of what our own experiences are, regardless of what we have or have not done. Sometimes it is not what we do, but what other people do to us. I mentioned earlier that the feeling of shame can get stuck in our neural circuitry of the brain. This is where our memories are stored. If we have a repetitious, afflicting experience, it can get tucked away in our memories, and it can be very hard to release from our minds. And our mind will keep replaying that experience over and over again. And then we become in bondage to whatever that emotion is, but what we're talking about today is shame. As I also mentioned earlier, all experiences initiate a neurofiring, every experience. The more repetition that is involved, the greater the intensity of the feeling. Instinctively, from birth, we are created to want to connect with other humans. We want to attach ourselves to other humans. We want to belong. From a very early age, we reach out to others for protection and safety. We want to be understood and accepted. We want to be loved. Those feelings are met with certain responses. These feelings and the responses pair together in our brain, which makes the neurocircuitry, and then that becomes what we expect of things in life and how we expect things to go later on in our lives as we grow up. When we experience shame, it is in comparison to the body collapsing from within. You feel as if your chest just caves in. And again, I speak from experience, folks. I speak from experience. And I'm sure that many of you out there right now, if you're dealing with this, can relate to what I'm saying also. You feel as if your chest is caving in. Your head goes down and you don't want to make eye contact with anyone. You feel rejection and humiliation. You feel embarrassed. We begin to hear the criticism, the punishing thoughts in our own mind that tells us, "You are so stupid. How could you have ever been so stupid as to do that? No one will ever love you now, and you don't deserve to be loved for what you've done." You feel disgusted with yourself. We are all created with a defense mechanism for just such things. The defense mechanism is meant to keep us safe, even from ourselves. But who will keep us safe? But who will keep us safe from our own self? It must be us, right? You know, we have to do certain things for ourselves. Others can't do that for us. When we feel disgusted with ourselves, oftentimes we turn on ourselves. We inwardly berate ourselves. We pour more toxic thoughts into our system about ourselves. We begin to believe that what we say to ourselves is true. It becomes our reality. We isolate ourselves from other human beings. We don't want anyone getting too close to us. We fear that they might see right through us and reject us. We feel as if people only knew, if they only knew what we truly were all about, that we would be shunned, that we would be unloved, and that the greatest fear, being left utterly alone, would happen. How many of you in the listening audience can relate to my message today? I would wager to bet that there's quite a few. Are you struggling with shame over something right now? Have you experienced it before in earlier years? Perhaps you know a friend who is dealing with something, who seems isolated or withdrawn, and you can't quite put a finger on that. There is help. There is help, folks. Seriously, truly, there is help. Don't live another day with it. Don't live another day like this. Make the decision to step out and do something about that. Remember, the first thing you must do to overcome what is going on in your life is to shed a light on it. And that, folks, can be the very, very hardest thing to do, to take that one step forward. There's so much fear. There's so much anxiety involved in that first step. But find someone who is worthy enough, trustworthy enough, that you feel can handle that and help you through that. Shed some light on it. I know you're probably saying, "But I can't. Surely no one will love me if I open up." Fellow brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you that that road will be easy, because it's not. But speaking from my own two experiences, at some point in your life, you are going to have to dig deep inside yourself, and you're going to have to find that courage. You're going to have to find confidence in yourself and share it with someone. It will eat you up inside if you don't. It feels as if you will, it feels as if you can feel yourself slowly dying inside. Literally. It feels as if you're trapped inside your own body. In my own experience, I felt as if the whole world was going to, was really going fast around me, you know, like super speed. While I saw myself as moving very slowly. It was almost as if it was a type of outer body experience. It was like being on the inside of a glass jar. You could look out and see everyone, but they couldn't see you. You could scream or holler for help, and no one would hear you. It was as if you were invisible. It was your own, it's as if your own turmoil, the intense pain, was invisible to everyone else out there, and you find yourself almost angry because everyone is so happy around you, and yet you can't find it within yourself to find that happiness. Inside your own mind, you're screaming at the happy world around you. Why are you so happy? What is there to be happy about? When you're in the middle of that dark place called shame, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel most days. My first experience was when I was about 7 years old. This experience was imposed upon me. Those shameful feelings, the worst of them, stayed with me about 2 years. I had all those mixed emotions and inner turmoil that I spoke of. It was miserable. And it didn't leave after 2 years. But it became better because I made the decision to shine some light on it. But those 2 years were the darkest years because I held them secret inside myself. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you got to find courage within yourself and let it out. Shine some light on it. I did. I ended up shining some light on it with my brother. And you know what? The world didn't crash. My brother didn't stop loving me. In fact, he was more loving toward me. Sometimes we don't give those people in our lives enough credit. We assume and we judge. And we don't give people that we love enough credit. But folks, I'm here to tell you that even if you do shed some light on it with someone and they do reject you, don't lose hope, because that is when you find out who your real friends are, because someone who's a real friend, it won't matter. They will buckle down and hold you tight, and they will be there till the very end. If they are meant to be a part of your life, if they are a true friend, a true loved one, they won't let whatever you tell them make a difference in their opinion about you. And if they do, it's their loss, not yours. But the world didn't crash when I told my brother. He was very loving, very kind and considerate, very sensitive to the situation that I was going through. I wish I'd had the courage to have shared it with him earlier. Perhaps I wouldn't have kicked myself for so long. Perhaps I wouldn't have agonized over the experience as I did. Talking to my brother was only the first step, though. There is still a very long process of healing after you first take that first step to share with someone, to shed the light on it. And no one can go through that healing process or make it happen for you, except you. The duration period of healing will all be up to you. My second experience was many, many years later, and I did this one to myself. I made a bad choice, and it cost me dearly. And the worst of the shame probably stuck with me for the worst of it for probably a year. The very worst of it. during that time, I really did feel like the world was caving in on me. I really did feel all those things that I just mentioned. My chest is caving in, people are looking at me, people are rejecting me. It was a bad time, and I didn't take very good care of myself during that time, hygiene-wise or anything else, because I just didn't care. It was a very, very, very intense time for me. And the shame didn't completely go away, even after that first year, for many, many more years to come. I had to learn to forgive myself for the choice that I made. And that was tough. I'm here to tell you, folks, it was tough. Tough is an understatement. I can't even think of a word that describes how I felt at that point. It took me the better part of 11 years, 11 years, folks, to forgive myself and move on. But as all of you are probably aware by now, having listened to my show for all these months, I'm determined. I'm a very determined person. I'm persistent. I don't give up. If I get something in my head, such as a goal or something that I want to accomplish, I will make it happen. It may take me a while, but I will make it happen. It will be accomplished. I don't give up. I'm very self-analytical. I love psychology. And though I haven't had any formal education on the subject, I did many years of study on my own about the internal workings of the mind, because the human mind intrigues me. I have a strong discernment for others. I'm also capable of seeing myself for all my flaws, owning them, and if there's something I don't like about myself, changing them. Some things are harder for me to overcome, but with much diligence and self-discipline, I will overcome the battle. I am in the middle of a process of my own right now. It's a 21-day habit-changing battle. There are a few things about me that no longer serve any purpose in my life. Actually, I suppose they never did. But I've been made aware that it is something about me that needs to be changed. I am no longer satisfied with these things in my life, these behaviors. I have gone through this 21-day process to change something about myself before, and it has been very effective. In the beginning, you'll run up against all kinds of obstacles. If you're breaking a habit, it's not easily done, for whatever the habit is. You've probably become accustomed to doing whatever the habit is that you're trying to break for many years. Perhaps you've behaved this way your whole life. Change doesn't happen overnight, folks. But I read something several years back. It takes 21 days to break a habit, and only 4 days, I believe is what it said, to convert back to your old original habit. The first half of the 21-day process is always the hardest. But afterwards, if you stick with it, it will become easier and easier to break, and hopefully at the end of the 21 days, you will find success. Try it for yourselves. See if it doesn't work for you. But remember, you must be strict with yourself in disciplining. You also must forgive yourself when you make a mistake. If you make a mistake, which I'm sure you surely will do, I have, dust yourself off, pick yourself up, learn from it, strive to do better next time, and move on. Don't look back. And don't keep kicking yourself to the curb all the time. Give yourself some slack. I'm going to go ahead and play you a few more songs, so do whatever you want to do while you're waiting on me to come back. Grab a snack, take a bathroom break, pour yourself a cup of coffee, then let's settle back into the Hope Show and finish out this show about shame today.
On your heart said it's had enough. sick and tired of everything that's all messed up. You don't wanna move on, just playing games, praying hard somehow that your life would change. When you feel like you don't know what to do, stuck inside this maze you can't go through. Don't give up, and help is surely on its way.
Seems in vain when
back, all you out there listening today, all the listeners and the networks and everything. I hope you're enjoying the show today. Thank you very much for joining me here on The Hope Show. What an honor it is to be live airing to all of you all over the world, reaching out and connecting with my fellow brothers and sisters from far and near. That's exciting. And a big thank you to all the networks out there from all over the place for broadcasting my show each and every week. I couldn't do what I do without the support of many radio networks and my devoted listeners. God bless all of you. Today the message is about shame. If you're just tuning in, here in a very short while, I'll be accepting call-ins, about another 20 minutes or so. I lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. I'll be accepting call-ins in about 20 minutes. I'll cue you when it's time. Please be considerate of the listening audience and refrain from all cursing and or inappropriate contact, please. Content. Be thinking about what you want to say to the world. It can be an experience you have personally gone through. You don't have to give any details. You can share with us how you dealt with that. If you want to call in for some advice, you can remain anonymous. If you're someone dealing with a shameful situation right now, I encourage you, please call in. I want to talk to you. Or you can call in if you'd like to add or share some words of wisdom or shed some light on the topic. Now I want to talk to you some more about shame, though. The feeling of shame can be toxic to our bodies. We feel unlovable and defective. Growing up in dysfunctional societies has taught us to equate our worth and the worth of others based upon external appearances. It is important for our recovery that we start making a distinction, though, to draw a boundary between being and behaving. They are two very different things, being and behaving. We judge one another way too quickly before we've gathered all the facts. Someone who behaves badly, as in not the way that the norm or the society thinks that we should, is thought to be a bad person. Someone who behaves as we want them to is considered to be a good person. It's very important that we stop judging our worth and the worth of others based upon certain standards of society. Yet we know there is no such thing as a perfect human being. But society has taught us that being imperfect is shameful. People often think that if someone makes a mistake, that means that they're a bad person, but that's simply not true. Perhaps we feel ashamed of ourselves for doing something we knew was wrong. That doesn't make us a shameful person. That doesn't even make us a bad person. It makes us human. We made a bad choice. But for those of you that have had shameful things imposed upon you, that doesn't make you a shameful person or a bad person either. The actions someone took upon you might be shameful, but you are not. Whatever experience we've been through doesn't change the essential you, that deepest inner part of you, your core being. Whatever our experiences are, it does not change who we are to the core. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. Our ways of how we think of ourselves or judge ourselves is based or dictated upon childhood experiences as we're growing up. This will be what defines how we feel about ourselves as a whole. Our feelings don't mean that we are defective or bad. It simply means that we are human, that we have been wounded. Our behaviors are learned, whether it's physical or by psychological conditions, from the time that we are born. We adopt defense mechanisms to surviving dysfunctional environments. But that's not to say that it's ever too late to change how we react, how we respond, how we behave to those certain triggers. It's never too late for change in our lives. People change and grow throughout their entire life. Something that may have served a purpose in our life years ago may no longer serve that any purpose in our life now. So it is time to evolve from that old you into a new you. Like a caterpillar that changes into a butterfly, we must learn how to spread our wings and fly. We must change with the seasons of our life, and then we'll experience many changes in our life, many seasons in our lives. You know, I mean, the average person will live anywhere from 50 to 80 to 90 years old. During that lifetime, we will experience many seasons, and we need to know how to learn and to grow and develop and keep moving forward in a positive manner. Fellow brothers and sisters, think about that for a moment. You know, we don't need fixing. We are not broken. We are wounded. There is a difference between broken and wounded. There is a difference, really. Our sense of self, our perception of ourselves, might become distorted. We may feel shattered, fractured, or broken, but our true inner self, that core that I talked about, is still intact. We think and feel as if we are broken because we're programmed by society that when we feel, as we were very young, to believe that. Even though we grow into adulthood, there is still an inner child in each and every one of us, deep down at the core. And when we feel shame or guilt over something, that inner child believes that we deserve to be punished. That small inner child believes that something terrible will happen if we reveal ourselves. Then other people will see our shameful self and reject us. This is how the human brain works in its toxic state. The defective mindset we hold on to so tightly is merely a lie. The experience is so painful for us to accept that we feel the need to lie to ourselves to survive it. We live in denial of what is true. We learn to disassociate from ourselves. The many masks that we learn to wear in our lifetime is something we invest a lot of time and energy into convincing ourselves that the masks we wear are true. But deep down inside, in a moment of clarity, we all know better. Though sometimes, for some of us, we spend so many years repressing ourselves that it can actually be very confusing to know what reality is and what it is not. Then lies the real problem. We get lost to ourselves, and we forget our way back to reality. We humans spend a lot of time trying to protect ourselves from the outside world to survive. But I want to share an old African proverb with you right now. And it is so true. When I read this, I'm like, I've got to share this with my listeners. When there is no enemy within, the enemies outside can't hurt you. When there is no enemy within, the enemies outside cannot hurt you. If you've ever had an experience where you've had to keep a truth a secret, keep quiet, then you know how miserable that can be. You know how harmful that is to your very being. I'm sure there have been many circumstances where we have held our truth and kept it locked up inside of us. When we do this, we unintentionally create shame around that secret. If we feel as if we can't tell the truth, then we experience shame. But how do you let it go? Once again, folks, the road to recovery is shining a light on that experience. When you do, you will feel a shift in the way you think. It will feel as if a weight has been lifted off your shoulders. The tension will just melt away. It's like for the very first time in a long while, you can actually take a deep breath. I know. I have experienced it in just this way. Telling my truth did not make the sky fall down, and it won't make yours either. We try so hard to avoid the negative aspects of ourselves, but while we're so busy doing this, there is another part of us that we ignore, that we neglect. It takes a lot of hard work to give light on something that you feel such intense pain about, to uncover a hidden part of ourselves that we've tried so hard to bury or deny. But by doing this, you will set yourself free and you will learn to live again. You have to accept what is. Decide today that you will break the habit of repressing yourself and make peace with that old self. After all, folks, we can't rewrite history. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not a guarantee, and today is the present. It's a gift. What are we going to do with it? If you know of a friend who is struggling with some experience in their own life right now that has caused them some shame, the best advice that I can give you is to be a loyal, trustworthy, kind, empathetic, loving, and considerate friend. And don't leave your friends when they need you the most. If you bail on them, just when they start to open up to you, you will only affirm to them that they are unworthy and unlovable. So if you really want to help someone, if you really want to help a friend, a family, a loved one, then stick with them through thick and thin to the very end. Don't ever give up on them. If you are the one suffering with some life experience, please, I encourage you to seek someone, even if you have to seek a counselor, but do it immediately. Don't wait. Your life is valuable. Your life is worthy. You are lovable. Haven't you wasted enough of your time with keeping a secret truth? Open up to someone today. No matter how impossible it may feel, no matter how intimidating it may feel, I promise you that you will feel better for doing so. It's the first step to the rest of your life. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break and play you a song. And when I come back, it'll be time for you to call in and share with us what's on your mind. And as soon as you hear the second song, make that call. I will be using Shaziz's Skype address, so after the second song, call in on the Shaziz address. And my husband will be co-hosting with me again on this last half hour, so be thinking about that, be getting ready to make your call, and I will be back shortly.
Me. didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. We might have been better off or on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Your own man, not a puppet on the string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really hasn't changed. Or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Okay, welcome back, listeners. The lines are now open for any call-ins. Please call in now, and we'd love to hear from all of you. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say and what's on your mind. Just remember, please, absolutely no cursing or inappropriate content. And I'm going to thank you in advance for your consideration of that. So, what do you think, Shaziz?
Yeah. Well, personally, I think everybody's their own worst critic. I always say this to you a lot. I think that people don't factor in all the gifts and all the blessings that they've had in their life. They don't realize their own true potential, so to speak.
I think you're right. I mean, everyone has the ability to do so much more. And everyone has the ability to do whatever it is that they want to do, that they set out to accomplish. It's just that not everybody feels that they have the self-confidence or the know-how to do that. You know, they don't give themselves enough credit.
Well, and that's why I like this radio network and all the other networks that is coming together. It's essentially empowering the individual to believe in themselves. Hey, we got Rick on here.
Okay, awesome. We have our first caller today. Trying
you
to answer.
Clicked it. You clicked it. It's good.
Hi, Rick. You're live. Welcome
Hi,
to the show.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, honey?
Oh, I am excellent.
Awesome.
Loving the beautiful day today.
It is beautiful out. The sun's shining. You can't ask for a better day.
Oh, not at all.
So, what is on your mind today? What would you like to share?
Well, you know, of course, shame is part of being human.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And And, you know, we all experienced it, of course. And, you know, I grew up in poverty. And in my younger days, you know, I did some things that I was not proud of, mm-hmm. you know, because of not having the things that I thought I needed, that right. I thought were necessary to get ahead.
Yes. Hindsight's always better than...
well, you know, shame only applies to those who have a conscience, you know, and so... To hear somebody say that, you know, I felt some shame in my life, essentially tells me that that person does have a good side to them. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And, you know, we are only human. I mean, you know, we are conditioned to believe things that are not true.
I believe that as well.
Yes.
But, you know, we will rise above that. We all will rise above that. You know, there are a lot of people out there who look down upon themselves because of the way they have to live their lives and yes. and the compromises that they have to make in their lives in order to be able to just to survive.
That's a very good point.
I think the key to rising above it is as simple as knowing that your words can empower others to believe in themselves to the point where they can empower others as well. And so, coming from a ground level, you know, what you do and say to other individuals can really affect their life. I'm a firm believer that everything you do affects everyone in the world, you know, however long it may take to happen. I still believe it's like the positive pebble in the pond thing that I keep talking about. You know, you throw positivity out there, you get positivity back, so forth and so on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I've made that my mission, you know, in my life now. Because, you know, I'm not the person that I used to be, and I am very, very thankful for that.
Praise
because
God.
Because everything has taught me to grow and to understand that, you know, we are bigger than we understand. We yes. are more than we believe.
Yes.
And people have to see that. It's hard, though. It's really hard under this paradigm to see that we really matter, each and every one of us.
Yes,
another thing to factor in, I don't know if anybody has ever really contemplated on it, but, you know, every time we lose a life for suicide or war or ignorance, we lose a part of ourselves. We lose something wonderful, maybe the next cure for cancer or the next great invention. You know, every time that mankind loses a soul, we take a step back. What do you think about that?
I agree with that, you know, and the reason why I agree with that is because people don't understand that it only takes one kind word to mm-hmm. change someone's attitude about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, just the belief. You have to have the belief in yourself. and you know, a lot of people don't think that others do believe in them or others do love them and care about them. You know, that's the whole idea of unconditional love is to give that to everything and everyone that you come across.
And to be vigilant on knowing, you know, some people just won't say when they got problems, but you can feel it. You can tell. I mean, we're built that way. We pick up vibrations off of other people, and we can tell pretty much what kind of mood they are in by the way that they are, or if they're feeling down or kind of distant or whatever. But being vigilant to your friends and even just the people around you, you know, saying a kind word can really make a serious difference in, you know, the way that their day ends up or their life goes, you know. And to me, like I said, you know, for us to lose one soul is the biggest, it's the biggest waste of humanity that I can possibly think of.
Well, you know, when I worked at Casey's, I mean, I'm a touchy, huggy, lovey kind of person anyway, and it made so much difference, you know, if you've seen the same people day after day, and you got to know them and love them and consider them as your own family, or at least I did, because that's the type of person I am. But, you know, sometimes that's all the kindness that they have in the whole day, you know, is if you reach out and you touch their hand, or you reach out and you touch their back, and you call their name, and you ask about them, inquire about them, you know, show some interest in them. You know, that's just, humans want that so much.
They don't only want it, they need it.
They need it, yes.
Yes. And you know, that's what I said, you know, one word can change a person's whole idea about how they're going to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, there are not people out there in order to give that one word of encouragement.
That's true.
That one word of, you know, we care about you. You know, we want to see you progress to a positive plane, you know, and step away from that negative energy.
When I talk about the power of the spoken word, I don't think that a lot of people actually get a grasp on what it is that I'm saying right there. You can literally raise a person's soul up to the highest heavens, or you can literally bring their soul down to the depths of hell just by the words and your actions. And so to me, the power of the spoken word is really powerful, and everyone's blessed with that.
I agree. And the reason that we pick up on other people's ups and downs is because we are all connected.
Exactly right.
I believe that as well. And I believe there's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye, and the average Joe soon will find out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you were talking about earlier when you came on that the way people live and things of that nature, you know, indicate sometimes maybe they're ashamed of the way they live or this and that. And there are a lot of people that do that, but I think that they should also think of what they do have and be grateful and blessed for what they do have, because if you stop to look at the world around you, there's always going to be someone out there that is far worse off than you are. And so, you know, just be grateful and blessed for that you do have.
I agree with everything you said. There's also one other thing to factor in as far as that goes, is that society has defined, let's just take looks, for instance. You know, you watch the mainstream media, you see all these beautiful people on TV, you know, and perfect makeup, no blemishes, perfect bodies, everything like that. And so as the children are growing up, that's their bit of measurement. This is what I have to look like if I want to be popular and so on down the line, you know.
It's their set example.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so part of the problem that we've got is the way that we allow society to literally define what we should look like or what we're not. I got a really good friend of mine. I won't mention his name or nothing like that. And he was telling me something about how he's not much to look at. And I'm telling the man, I'm so like, yeah, you know, looks don't come from the outside. You know, looks come from what is made inside. And we're all energy, you know. What we see, what we perceive, you know, is only relevant to where we are in any given time or space, you know. It's just, you got to see the world in a whole different light in order to understand. You know what I'm saying?
But have you ever noticed, though, that whenever you see someone like that, and when you spend time with them and you really get to know them, have you ever noticed how beautiful they really become?
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just did a show the other night on Nick Vujicic. Now, he was born without arms and legs. But this man is incredible. This man is the words escaping me right now. He goes out and he goes to schools and does public speaking, the power of the positiveness of what we really are is not what we see.
That's amazing.
You know, He's incredible. I'm trying to get him on my show. I'd really love to have him on my show and have him talk to as many people as he can. I mean, he's going around the world right now. He was just in Brazil not too long ago, and they welcomed him with open arms. I mean, and a beautiful, beautiful person. I mean, it's so easy when you hear him speak to just see past the physical.
Yeah.
And in fact, it doesn't matter. After a little while, you don't see that he has no arms and no legs.
Exactly.
You know. I'm sure.
Have you ever seen the video, The Unperson?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you watch this video, if you watch it with the mindset which you were raised on, you know how, like, if you see somebody who's handicapped, kind of like what you were talking about, and there's a certain stigma or feeling that you get because of the things you've been told, you know, about this person is helpless or whatever, I don't know. But if you watch this video, there's a segment of society out there who are very, very brilliant individuals. They just have a disease that causes them to rock back and forth and shake. They can't control their body and all that kind of stuff. Well, one of these particular individuals started off a group with other individuals with the same problem. And their communication skills between each other was just, it was amazing. And they were essentially talking about how people would be standing right next to them and talking about them as if they didn't even exist, you know, or they didn't understand what they were saying. I'm a firm believer, and I might sound crazy for this, but I would say that at least 80 to 90% of all the individuals in every single insane asylum doesn't belong there. It's not the fact that they're insane. It's the fact that they're so intelligent that they just can't make no sense of what's actually going on around them. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. You know, I live with a 6-year-old autistic girl, my niece, and you know, this girl is beautiful. I mean, she is so intelligent, and she's only 6 years old, but this girl is so intelligent. But because of her autism, you know, she has a hard time conveying her words, her thoughts, you know. But she does it a lot through singing. She sings, and that's how she gets her messages out, you know. And it is just so incredible and so uplifting just to see how she deals with everyday life.
You know, it's so sad that, you know, with these things and society as it is, the solution to those types of problems are to put them away. They don't know how to deal with it, so put it away. Put it behind closed doors or whatever.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. And it's so very sad because they do know. They do feel. You know, just as you and I do.
If you take away the human body and you just put the human spirit in there, you would be looking at pure beauty according to their own rules. But yet, if you got so much as a blemish on your face, there's some in society that would look at you like, oh, he's gross or
diseased.
Yeah, not one of us or...
It is a conditioning that we're under.
Yeah.
Society is so stuck on their ideas of norm.
I still believe, and I know it's crazy and it's way out there, but I still believe that we have the power. We literally have the power to bring about heaven on earth. It doesn't matter what your religious background is or anything. If you just think about what I just said, and you think about how here we are on this beautiful planet flying through space, you know, whichever direction you might want to think it goes, whether we revolve around the sun or the earth, but revolves around whatever, none of that matters. We're all in the same boat. And so if I poke holes in this boat, we're all going down together. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. You know, and you know, of course, beauty comes from within.
Exactly.
You know, it is from the heart, which is our true center. It's not our mind. It's our
heart.
That is our true center. And A lot of people don't understand that it's easy to project that out to other people, mm-hmm. to change someone's life just by a smile, just by a kind word, just by a kind action. You know, I mean, I end my show, every time I end my show, I say the same thing. You know, just do one positive thing for one person a day, and right. you will change the world.
And we are doing it.
And
not only will you bless someone else, you'll be blessed by that act as well.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Positive energy brings positive energy.
I always live by the motto is to treat others the way you would want to be treated. And, you know, I feel as if at any given time, you know, myself or Shaziz or even you, you know, may fall from where we are at in this world right this moment, and we may find ourselves being that person that we judged, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be put in the position, first of all, I don't want to treat someone like that and make them feel that way, but I wouldn't want to be that person either if the shoe was on the other foot.
That's right. I agree. You get what you give out of life.
That's right. You reap what you sow.
You know, I hear people all the time talking about how you know, mankind will never change, and I don't agree with that, for the simple fact is over the last several years when we've been doing these radio shows and stuff like that, I've seen a mass gathering coming from all different nations of the world, all different backgrounds, races, religions, creeds, colors, whatever, but I believe that the majority of the people feel the way that we do.
They do. A lot are just afraid to express that because of fear of ridicule or fear of being let down.
You know, proof of what I'm saying is you can take the most hardened person in this world, and if there's a mass tragedy going on, if they come along and they see somebody in danger, they'll rush in there just as fast as the good guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And probably faster.
There's a reason behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my own experience that the lost and the downtrodden are more likely to help you and be empathetic to your situation than someone else.
But I think the key that we got to get to as a race of humans or energy beings, whatever you want to think about, is we got to get to the point where we understand how powerful we really are. We have to get to the point where we understand that we're all in the same boat together. And that when the boat goes down, it ain't going to be the blacks going down by themselves. It ain't going to be the whites going down by themselves. It ain't going to be the reds, the yellows, or whatever going down. But we're all going down together. And
that's right.
And so with that said, it would probably be a good idea as opposed to, like, you know, you're getting ready to drive off the cliff.
Put the
brakes on now.
Stop taking sides and unite.
Yeah. I mean, that's only common sense to guys and gals like us. All these people that's gathered on our network, it's common sense. Getting the average Joe to wake up and understand there's something beyond their selfishness, you know, something better. You know, they're looking to buy themselves a stairway to heaven in their life, and they don't understand they can't take none of that with them, but yet they would step over anybody and do anything to accomplish something in this world. You know, reminds me of a story. I was way back when I was working on an old barn, and I was doing a whole lot of work on this old barn, and then it suddenly dawned on me, you know, no matter how hard I work, one day nature's going to take that back, and nothing I did is even going to show up. But if I put some positivity out there in the world, that'll live on forever.
You know, I've mentioned before on my show, and I think it's worthy of saying again, you know, to think about what you say. And every time I think about what I'm going to say, I ask myself, you know, the letters of think, you know, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And if it doesn't fall within those five categories, then don't say it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like kind of like Mama used to say, if you ain't got nothing good to say, keep your mouth shut.
That's right. You know, Blake Edwards did a quote one time. He said that shame is an unhappy emotion invented by pietists in order to exploit the human race. And I agree with that.
That is so true. It is.
Well, I still think there's a lot of evil in the world, but I still think that good overcomes evil. I mean, you see it in all the movies. Hey, it don't hurt to be a dreamer.
That's right.
Well, you know, the power of the positive way outweighs the power of the negative. Mm-hmm. The power of the negative will never, ever be as powerful as the power of the positive thought and the power of the positive imagery of ourselves and of the world around us.
And besides that, by definition, the power of the positive feels better.
Absolutely.
Well, I may have this quotient wrong, but I remember reading something about when my daughter was very young, that for every negative you throw out there, you have to do something like 3 positives or something like that to get rid of the damage done by the 1 negative.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really. I think it's maybe the other way around.
Yeah.
I really do, because mankind is inherently good.
Yeah.
That's what I think, because the bad guy, he will rush in there to save somebody in danger.
That's right, because, you know, like I, you know, our core is our heart.
Yes.
And if it comes down to it and we are put against the wall, that is what will respond.
Yep.
Right, yes. That is true.
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like your time's getting down there, lady.
I know.
This has been a great show.
We're
glad to have you back on again.
I know. It's been a blessing. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I am so honored to be able to know you people and to be able to do what I do now. I mean, it's been a dream of mine for a very, very long time.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Keep up the good work.
The blessing is for all of us, you know.
Yes.
in all different directions. So we're honored to have you just as much or more. You're honored to have us. We could argue over who's honored the most, but we just thank you so much for being who you are, brother.
Yes, thank you for your words of wisdom.
Thank you. You two are the most wonderful, wonderful people, and bless your hearts. God loves you so much.
God loves you as well, and thank you so much for that.
And we will keep going on what we're doing.
We got to.
That's right.
The price of not doing nothing for our children and our children's children's future is too high for us to fail.
That's right. That's right, and we won't.
Fight the good fight until the end, when it says, well done, faithful servant.
That's right. Keep giving, keep giving, keep giving.
Yep.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to wrap this up, brother. Peace, love to you and all
care.
Your family.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you once again, Rick. That was very wonderful. Very, very wonderful time sharing with you, talking to you, and wonderful words of wisdom to live by. And so I want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening, and Rick for calling in, and I want to thank my husband here, Shaziz, for co-hosting with me once again. And do you have any last-minute things to say before I wrap it up?
No, because the clock is a-ticking, and I'm so sure somebody else wants the airways. Peace and love, everybody.
Okay, well, it's time for me to close. So with that said, until we meet again next Saturday, same time, same place, may God bless you and each and every one of you. Much love and take care.
You're pushing the wrong button. All right, peace and love, everybody.